This interview was taken October 9th, 1992, in Isbell Bill's home in Spring Lake, which is directly behind the Bill's plumbing shop, and was built in 1872 and by Aloys Bills himself. And she is still living there, even though Press has died, has been dead for some time. The home itself is a museum, and she enjoys showing it off. You will notice that they are a very civic-minded family, the Bills, each of them serving in their time on the city or village council and then serving also as presidents of the village. We pick up the interview. Isabel is showing me a scrapbook that Aloys put together, which is quite a chronology of his life. And the technique that he used in gluing the pages in were quite unique. And so let's pick up the interview at that point.
Boy, it was one of those where they actually stuck it.
Yeah,
right.
And it's all about Al.
His wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he goes through all of them. By doing it this way, you get a lot more in it.
Sure.
See, this is all about Margaret.
Now, Margaret would have been...
it's his daughter.
Preston's sister.
No, he didn't have any sisters. You know, it's his aunt.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. She was quite a woman in WCTU, and did a lot of traveling, and she was a...
Oh, I see. He kind of accordioned it, didn't he?
Yeah.
So you have to flip it over to see.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That was a unique way of doing it. Now that's him. That's an unusual name, Aloys.
Yes,
wonder where it ever came from. I don't ever remember hearing anyone with that name.
And that's about his family.
What breed is that?
Mm-hmm, Buffalo.
No.
Yeah. And it goes on with Grand Haven and Ottawa County and the state and the nation and international all the way
through.
There's
something.
Here's Michigan's label.
Yes. Now he lived until the 20s, didn't he?
1934.
34. The year that the centennial, Grand Haven Centennial.
Mm-hmm. Huh. He
wasn't there for it, probably.
I was trying to think. When he died, I think. Seems to me it was a late summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
Excuse me. Look in the middle.
Okay.
Between the testaments.
Okay. Oh, yes, there it is. Marriages. Oh, it is. Okay. Beginning to look for it, but that's the section, isn't it?
Yes.
year was he?
It was 1934, but here it was at 11 p.m. on Tuesday, November 27th.
So he did. He was alive during the centennial celebration. So when was he born? And he was born in the Netherlands?
No, no, he was born in Dippels Green, Bohemia, which is not a Czechoslovakia.
Well,
I said that, here it is, 1841.
1841.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that really is a classic old family. Now, I wonder how old the dictionary or the Bible is. And when did he come to this? Well, he was, you said he was born here in this country.
No, he was born here.
Oh, that's right, sure.
Mm-hmm.
He must have been a very well-organized person.
Yes, I think he was able to do all the things that he did.
Yeah, right.
Well, now what are we going to talk about?
I'll
get my thoughts in order here.
Well, let's see. First of all, when this house was built in 1872,
right.
When did the fire occur that destroyed his business?
1871.
It would have been 71.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been the year of the Chicago fire. And it was.
Yes. You've seen those, haven't you?
What are those? Were they in his store?
No, these are my family.
Are they from Chicago?
Yes. They live in Chicago.
And marbles? Or just, well, they probably were marbles, weren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Beads in here?
Yeah.
Just beads. Did they have a store?
Well, they just. People went around and picked up this stuff.
Mm-hmm. 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 Looks like more beads, doesn't it? Now, was there a relationship, when they ever feel, between the fires of the third year? Of course, that fire had started in Hopkins, the one that took this end of the town down. I think that started in Hopkins.
That was 73. Or 71.
Yeah.
Then there was that called the Great Fire of 1873 that went down to the other side of the street. They went over this way. And it started at Barrett Holdridge.
Yeah, well, that would have been Holdridge. Oh, or did it start? You know, that's hard to tell. Look at that. It's like pages of something.
Mm-hmm.
Just glass, maybe. Window
glass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you just see.
And this is the sticker. This is the one that everybody has trouble with.
I have fun with these because every time Senator New comes over to see the housewife, I tell him I can pass a test.
Well,
wait for the restroom.
Stacked up, singed, fused right together. Isn't that something? So the fire here occurred that same year, or it occurred, and the building, or the store was right over there, and it was not Savage yet, it was Main Street, I think it was, or State.
State Street.
And then I read where he immediately decided to reopen and sent out the word that it would be rebuilt and be bigger and better than mm-hmm. there.
Oh, yes, 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 it would. And he got help from Hunter Savage.
Oh.
And the problem was, of course, that his insurance companies were based in Chicago. And they were having one awful time of there without anything from outside.
Sure.
So.
Yes. Here's
the autobiography. Now, before you turn that on, what do you want me to talk about? Or how are we going to do this? You asked me some questions?
No, we just be having them, so.
Oh. That's just
interesting. He did this on a typewriter.
Well, I don't think he did.
It had been transcribed. And twin sister Josephine. Mm-hmm. He must have recited that or had it done somehow. Oh, that is something. Now, have you done that?
I haven't. I have my
virtual. Oh, have you? Yeah. Well, that's thoughtful. I thought at times I'd like to do my own sermon.
Oh, well, I wrote that because I know I belong to so many organizations. I know New Doors would have trouble with it.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got it here. It was at Junior Home for a while, but here I've got to update it.
Uh-huh. Sure, because. The 10-year in order.
Are you closer to that?
No, I don't think so. I think we could get up. The 10-year, the years that you're in an organization, you have to update it every year.
Well, yeah, there's some that I have joined and some that I have presided over since I joined and things like that. That, of course, in fact, the Audubon Society now.
With the new development out here in the islands.
And, yeah.
Now you and Press must have gone to school together.
No, he's 7 years older than I was. And he graduated in 24 and I graduated in 30 from high school.
But he went to graduate high school.
Yes, part prayer. I don't know. I think he went for, I think the school went to the ninth grade.
Uh-huh.
Then the last 3 years there.
Now that school would have been located right behind the present Spring Lake Township fire house.
Oh,
that
right? Block, yeah.
Yeah, and right.
And where the park is. There's a little park there back of it.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's where it
was. Okay. So, how did you ever get together?
Well, he was a great friend of my brother's.
Oh, I see. So, you had an older brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris had been working with his dad, installing all oil burners and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then came the Depression. And so he had always been interested in scouting for years and years.
Sure.
And he had been an acting executive, the two executives when it was Ottawa Alpha Council. And he wanted to go on and be a scout executive. But that required some college work. So he, things were so slack that they shot that he would go to college, and this was several years after graduating high school. He thought, well, as long as I'm here and I'm teaching college, I might as well take a teaching course. So he did, in industrial arts. And he graduated in 39. And then he got a job teaching in Decatur, Michigan. And we were married between his junior and senior year. And did all the outside reading.
Now his dad was gone by then?
No, he died in 40. And but that's why he didn't complete his 40. Teaching year, because he died in April of 1940.
Okay.
And so we had come back then and take over the business for his home.
And you were married when?
38.
Just before he graduated. Now there was a older or younger brother, Bill. No, there was a William Bills.
Yes, his name is William Preston Bills. And then William A. Bills is his dad.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed to me as though looking in the list of presidents of the village, I saw Alois, of course.
And you saw William A.
Right.
And that's Alois' son.
Oh, Alois.
Yeah, so Alois' son,
Press's
dad.
I see. There's the... Okay, now I've got it. Okay, so Alois is really Press's granddad.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, and your son then was named for your granddad?
No.
No, because he was... I see. Press was a William Jr., but he just went by Press.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have house tours, frequently, don't you?
Well, I haven't had any since 87. I've had a lot of people come go through it, but not as a host.
That was a desk, wasn't it? You pulled it out. It's a desk.
This is belonged to Alice Bell's father, who was a minister, Dr. Irving Thompson. And when this house was built, he sent this desk and the companion bookcase.
In 72.
For her in the home. So that's older than the house.
Gorgeous.
So
it's a good thing they had high ceilings.
Many places that will accommodate it.
No, that's got to be 8 feet high, at least. Or 9.
Yeah.
Because this ceiling is what, 12?
12.
12 feet, yeah.
Well
what? What?
Is this the house?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness.
Tomorrow, we're going to go up one side of the street and down the other, and I was just trying to get a feel for what used to be along here.
Oh.
Of course, this has always been here, hasn't it? In one form or another, the Alois store or...
Well, it used to be, his store was down next to the alley.
No.
And then came got the first plumbing shop and tin shop, and then the bakery shop, and then the corner building. And the corner building was the first bank in Spring Lake. It was a newspaper office. It was four things. Bicycle shop, did I say that?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Well, and then the plumbing shop. Yeah. There were four things that had taken the heat. All that's left of it is the basement. That's under the parking.
Oh, I see. I see, because that's all, what's on top is all new structure, of course. When you say the newspaper, what newspaper was that then?
My grandfather published a newspaper for a couple of years.
Yeah.
The Spring Lake Republican, I think it was called.
And he actually was the editor? And
an owner and everything, and lasted about 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Owned and operated a newspaper, the Spring Lake Republican,
1889 to 1890.
Oh, it's 1879.
Okay.
It's not typed, but
yeah.
The details of the services. Do you
want
to know what he did?
Yeah, that's.
These are the services of the Lloydsville.
Okay.
He was a town supervisor for 11 years. He organized the Spring Lake Board of Trade. He was the director of Spring Lake House. He was a notary public for 60 years. He was president of Spring Lake 10 years. He was a correspondent for the Grand Haven Courier Journal. He was a hardware merchant for 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
Alois Bills and Hunter Savage built and put into action the steamer Margaret, the first steamer to operate on Spring Lake.
Hmm.
He secured two parks for the village from the Hugo Thumb Estate. He's a charter member of the BPOE in Grand Haven. And then the newspaper. In 1913, he organized the Spring Lake State Bank, and it became its first president. That was when.
Oh, is that right? Right here.
Agent for the Fireman's Fund Insurance for 64 years. He's a member of the Board of Education, chairman of the Republican Township Committee, a realtor, especially for Spring Lake Beach, director of the Spring Lake Hotel Company, and one of the discoverers of the Mineral Springs.
Yes, I knew the Mineral Springs, of course.
Well, he kept busy.
Yeah, that's something else. Good heavens. Well, when he was here, when he first came here, and that would have been what, about 18...
He came in 1866. He had money to start the hardware store in Grand Rapids. And when he got there, he found that Grand Rapids had a hardware store, and it was too small to have two of them. So he came on down here to Spring Lake, or to Mill Point, it was.
Yes.
Where all the sawmills were. And started the hardware store here, and
yeah. I'm just trying to think what the size of the town may have been that time. Not very large, or the village. I'll bet there weren't 200 people. You got a census?
I've got some information on that. I'm sure where it is. I used to go up to the 7th grade, and give them the history of the Spring Lake,
yeah.
Greg Bryson's invitation. And a lot of that kind of thing in my notes. I was using those notes to help get the production ready for.
Oh, your show you put on, yeah.
No, I don't know where they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't large,
No.
But very heavily in industrialized area with all the sawmills.
Yes.
That were here when he was here. They were right at their prime then.
Yes. But they went down in a hurry.
Well, 1890, that No wood left.
No. Strictly. That's when they started the fruit.
Well, you started, well, in around here, around yes, here, right?
Yes, yeah. All the grapes that gather in the town and the surrounding area, peaches and such. Of course, the story goes that farmers would bring their loads of fruit. We go right down Division Street here and to the river. We'd be a packet boat there. And oh. That would take the fruit to the Chicago boat in Grand Haven, and the people in Chicago had fresh fruit for breakfast. Because they make a night crossing.
Sure. Now that was gone by the time you remember.
I've been here 52 years.
In this home, 52. And I'm thinking when you were a youngster in Grand Haven, do you remember?
Well, when I was a youngster in Grand Haven, I didn't know much about spring life. It was
yeah.
Before, you know, cars were just getting popular.
Sure.
And until I could learn to drive, I didn't get around to anywhere but Grand Haven. Yeah.
But I think there were fruit deliveries in Grand Haven as well.
Yeah.
Down at the wharf. I was told that as well. Do you remember any of that? Or you probably didn't venture that far from your neighborhood, did you?
Well, when I was in junior high, because I had to walk down to junior high school every day.
Which was on 7th Street. No, it wasn't 7th.
Yeah, 6th. When I went to it, it was upstairs in Central School.
Oh, sure. And there was a teacher that Al Jacobson and Paul Johnson talked about, Miss Soul.
Julia Soul.
Do you remember her?
Yes, I had her for 7th grade history.
And she was your teacher?
Very dignified woman, very tall, and she wore her hair done, combed up, snow white, and she was... Oh, she had a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
The Coast Guards called her Pinky. Because she lived, she had a cottage over there.
You know, oh,
the
Coast
sure. Guard station. If she needed any help, why she built the station and asked
her. Yeah, that's right. In fact, that was perhaps the first cottage over on the North Shore. Yeah. Well, what else was along here? The filling station wasn't there.
But the saloon. It was a saloon, Bus's Saloon. Now this I've heard about, because it's one of Grandma's favorite stories, and that Bus's Saloon was over there, and one night there was a fire there, and it was a cold night. I don't know whether it was freezing or not, but it was very cold, and the firefighters were out there, and they would come over here and get a cup of coffee, and then Brox heard about it, and they sat down with a dishpan full of donuts, and so the firefighters could have donuts and coffee. And they were working most of the night. And then the next day, one of them came down and scrubbed Grandma's kitchen floor.
The firemen.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been the volunteer group from Granny there at the Spring Lake.
Yes.
Because they felt they had tracked in, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Bill Cooper had a coal and still that thing besides coal in the office there. He did a lot of delivery work. I mean, I think at that time he had the Railway Express Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about where Clyde Peace is now.
Yes.
And then there was Buckley's Hardware Store. Where the hell that is. And
now, we're still on this side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, the help that, sure. I know where that is.
Mm-hmm. And, let's see. Then there was the Bungalow Sweet Shop. And then the bank. And then...
The bank was on this side?
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Where Fields is now.
Is it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and yeah, I remember reading that, and I couldn't place it exactly.
And then came Baumrick's Tailor Shop. Old Prokop Baumrick was a little German, and the kind that would sit with his legs crossed and do his sewing. And he also had the dry cleaning business there.
Now that wasn't the corner.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Got the middle one. And I'm trying to think what came next. Oh, it started out as a laundry and then it turned into a restaurant, and that's now it stands bar.
Oh.
And that was run by Walter Ames. And then his daughter Dorothy Schlittowitz. It was Dorothy Ames, and then Dorothy Boss, and then Dorothy Schlittowitz. And she maintained the restaurant there for quite a while. And then there was Spencer's Grocery, and that was taken in now by where the drugstore is. And then the drugstore on the corner. That's the way it was when I came here.
Now, it seems to me as though there was a Nixon meat market.
That's the next block. That's where the new travel place is.
Okay. And that had been there forever, hadn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a grocery store on the corner. Before I came, it was Andy Falls.
Oh, yes.
And then the other half of the building was the post office. And then there was a vacant lot, and then there was Nixon's.
Now that vacant lot is still there, isn't it?
No.
Oh, well, I'm thinking that little parkway somewhere about there.
That's further down.
Oh, it is. Okay.
See, there's Nixon's, and then Nixon was Ringgold's Hardware Store, and then the park.
Okay.
And then Brock's Bakery. And then another vacant lot. And then there was Boulder's feed store. Well, it was groceries and feed store. And then the old Village Hall.
So the Village Hall always was
down the corner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where was the Township Hall then? Or did that function as the Township Hall?
I don't know. I don't think there was one. I think they met in Bratt in the Village Hall.
In the Village Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other side of the street. Can you remember that?
Well, right at Kitty Corner here was a big vacant lot. And then the Central House, which was a hotel, and it's where the Cafenet, and if you've heard of
sure.
The Cafenet, that's where that was.
Yeah, I had always pictured the Cafenet being up in the block beyond.
You see the woman that ran it, and that Cafenet bought the house on the corner there, and she opened it up there then.
Okay, so still the Cafenet then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that would have been on the other side of Buchanan, across from the bank, is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
And next to the Cafenet, there's some vacant lots over there. I don't remember just where they were, but anyway, there was DeFreeze's Meat Market, and that would be just this side of where the bowling alley is. That little store over there that's closed, it's been a TV repair shop.
Okay.
That's the area where that was. And I don't know if it's where the bowling alley. There were businesses over there that changed hands quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But where the beauty shop is now was a little restaurant run by Fred Gillard. And then there was a grocery store that was run by Fred Schwab way back. I don't know anything about that, except that he would watch Bill Spencer across the street. And neither one of them wanted to turn off the light first because there might be another nickel out on the street somewhere.
they closed up by watching each other.
So they're a restaurant on both sides of the street.
No, these were grocery stores.
Or grocery stores, that was it. Okay. Now that takes us up to the corner.
It wasn't the corner store, but I don't think there was anything on the corner.
That later became a filling station.
Yes.
It's either Gulf or...
It was Gulf.
Across the street, of course, was the...
Was the Interurban Station.
Sure.
And then Andy Hall's house. And then the Howland House and the Fox House.
Now, a couple of those are still there.
Yes, those two. Well, not...
Oh, they're all gone now.
The Ann Falls house is gone.
Yeah.
But Joyner's Engineering is in one of those, and I don't know whether it's the Howland House or the Fox House, but they were right there together. And then on the corner was a Molder home.
Oh, okay.
There were lots of Molders there.
Uh-huh.
Grandma went to something at the Dutch church, as she called it, and there were 32 Molders there.
All interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Now, what was where the bank is now?
Well, that's the Mulder House.
Oh, okay.
On the corner.
Right on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the train depot was back in there someplace.
It went down.
Oh, this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Went down near Miller Smith's.
Okay. And what was along in there? Is that all? Just vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And the Interurban ran right down the middle of the street here. And
I rode on the Interurban lots of times.
Yeah.
My aunt would take me to Grand Rapids on it.
Sure. You know, I've commented so many times what a remarkable mass transit system there was here.
Mm-hmm.
You could walk from here with two bags to the Interurban and go literally any place in the world.
Yeah. Because you could get to Grand Haven on the Interurban, and that would take you on the Chicago train, and that's pretty much the hub of wherever you want to go.
Yeah, right. Sure. Or go to the boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. End up in Chicago on the boat. Pretty remarkable. Then the automobile came along. Now, who was the first? Oh, McClure. This would be Betty Moore's relation. I don't know. It was one of the McClures, supposedly, built the first automobile.
Oh, yes. At the time of the Spring Lake Centennial, I had the nice job of having an antique show in the Masonic Temple. And we got him to bring that old car up.
You're kidding. That's right. Mm-hmm. He was still around.
Yeah.
Now that would have been 1961. He was still here.
I don't know if it was he that did it or whether his son did, but anyway, it was a Mr. McClure that did it.
Yeah. Sure, that was Betty Moore's. Gee, and I can't recall what the relationship is.
Well, she was...
Grandfather, perhaps?
Yeah, she was
married.
Oh,
was she? I figured you'd have that Mary Kitchell's book someplace.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, mine's all tattered and torn now. I'm going to have to do another one.
Here's that. Something from the hardware store.
I'm sure.
I'm making my notes right here.
1914. 1914, that was the year that the bank went in.
It started in 1913.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Fortunately, I did some research and asked Della Mulder, who worked at the bank for years, And I asked her about it, and she looked in their records, and I have her report.
Oh.
Yeah. And she told me that Clinton Trotter, of course, was the fountain of information. I said something at a meeting one time about Mike being formed here, and he says, "Now let me see, who was at that meeting?" And he goes and names the people that were there.
Sitting right here.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah. Gee, isn't that something? Yeah. How old was he when he died?
90. He would have been 95 the next day.
And he's only been gone 2-3 years now, I think.
I guess so. You lose track.
A couple of years, I think, is all it is. Gee. Yeah, you hate to see people like that go.
And I think we got some of his information on tape when I was taking a course on the history of Spring Lake.
Oh, yes.
We got him to, he got quite interested in it. And one day, we had the equipment there, and George Donner started asking him questions. We got all that on tape.
That's great. You know, you had a note in there that the Thumb property, Thune or something like that, is that where the yacht club is now?
Yacht club and the church club.
Those were both his properties, and he just gave them to the city, or the village.
Yeah. Marshall McClure.
There you are.
1859-1928. And his horse's carriage built in 1891 using an engine borrowed from a Grand Rapids shop on Front Street. It wasn't he. It was somebody in the family
right, exactly.
That brought it to the
Centennial. But the fact that it's still around might not have the engine in it anymore, but it still had the wheels and the carriage. What did Bill or did the press ever relate to you, or did you gather from Aloys about the mineral springs?
I never saw Aloys.
Oh, you didn't? That's right.
I didn't know him at all.
That's right.
My brother knew him because he would be come over here with press. I remember my aunt Ethel worked in the county agriculture agent's office, and that was right. You had to go through her office to get to the title office. And one time there was this tall, distinguished looking man there, and I said, "Who is that?" She said, "Oh, that's Mr. Phillips from Spring Lake." But that's about the only time I ever saw him. I don't know. I never heard him talk about it from the Mineral Springs.
Of course, that burned down the hotel in 16, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fred's mother got him out of bed, took him to the fire.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So Fred's mother?
He was 10 years old.
So he can remember seeing it.
Hmm?
You remember seeing it?
Oh, yes. And how frightened they were about the water tower. They were afraid that anybody would get scalded because the fire was so intense and the water tower was wooden.
Yeah.
And when it came down, it was bone dry.
Well, sure, they probably used every ounce they could get to.
Well, yes, or it evaporated with all that heat.
Yeah, true. Boiled itself dry.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, that's quite a story. I've always felt Fruitport discovered it first. Then Spring Lake was next within.
Did you know they had it at Norton Hill?
No, I didn't. They had the Mineral Springs
they
up
had
there.
The Mineral Springs there, actually.
Didn't know about that. Now, what's the detail on that? Now, where do you define Nortonville?
Well, the Nortonville Church, out near Jeffers School.
Yeah, okay.
And the Nortonville Church is across from
Okay.
From the school. when that was the first sawmill.
Yeah, out along what we call Boom Road now.
Yeah, Boom Road is down near the river.
River. Wasn't it near the river, the first sawmill?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because after all, they had to get them.
Yeah,
that's right.
But they had a, now, do you remember the details on that? I've never heard that story about the Mineral Springs.
No, but it came up in one of the reports that we had. We had something about Amos Park in our presentation. And I don't know where the information came from. I think I remember reading it, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Mm-hmm.
It never got to the stage that the Spring Lake
was. Oh, no.
That really was quite a place. And the Pomona House was up in Fruitport.
Oh.
That was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Cutler House was, too.
Mm-hmm. Several places where there was.
Oh, yeah. But I still claim it was a hoax. I don't think that they're, because they were springing up all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a complete story, although I've seen accounts of it. But I'd like to see the whole, have it documented for the entire state, the numbers that popped up. I know Charlotte had one, St. Louis had one, St. Louis being north of Lansing a little bit. And, probably many, many others.
Well, there's so much salt in New Detroit.
Yeah, true.
I got a piece of it upstairs, but that big.
Oh, there you go. Well, now, over on Spring Lake at that time, was it lined with cottages as we know it today? It could have been.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
All I know is
when you got there, though, it probably was. There were cottages when you and Chris. Did you and Chris move into this house? Did you know?
Well, we had, it's in 1940.
Yeah.
But that the Robbins house was there then. And there was not a lot of cottages along the Farmer Street then.
Yeah. And who was next to Robbins? That was a Savage, wasn't it?
Well, that was the big house.
Yeah,
it was a little bit further.
Who was that? The one that the Miller finally bought, tore down.
Yeah, that was a Savage.
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a beautiful place. And then, then it was eventually without a home.
Oh,
okay. And had no restrictions as far as finances were concerned. They took everything wanted.
Yeah.
They had beautiful parquet floors and that kind of thing.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But they had installed those, had
yes,
they?
Yes, oh yes. And I know that Chris was on the council at that time when they wondered what was going to happen to it after both Mr. and Mrs. Lott left no heirs.
Yeah.
And they went with the village to buy it for a heritage home.
Sure.
But the village couldn't see its way clear financially, or at that time couldn't figure out how they would manage anything.
I know it. Just the money to maintain it.
Yes.
Probably $10,000 a year just
and
to keep it up.
And that, but the insurance would be tremendous.
Oh, yes.
So it was a sad day when it was taken down because it was such a historic thing and in such beautiful condition.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that it is too bad that there can't be, that public funds can't be used to maintain something, or save and maintain something like that.
I, when Doris was here helping me after Chris died, while I said, well, I guess we've got everything taken care of except the house. And then some people have been trying to get me to approach the village and see they would buy it for a historic home, and I would have living privileges. Mm-hmm. And she said, don't be in a hurry to sell that house. We have to have a place to retire to.
Now, how old is she?
Doris is now 52.
It worked out about right.
And her husband was, birthday Monday was 53. That's
normal. Now, this would be Doris?
My daughter.
Your daughter, okay. And she lives where?
Portage, Wisconsin. Oh. He's a Presbyterian minister.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And that's why they don't go home.
Sure. It must be perfect for them.
Okay. Then my granddaughter came to visit me one weekend, and she and her husband. And she went back and told her mother, my great bed and breakfast place this morning.
Oh, yeah, right.
She got her plans all made.
Yeah, right. But you know, so often you'll see that that's the way these places are finally saved and
they
maintained.
They preserve that way.
Yeah, that's right.
Come to the boarding house.
Yes, right.
That's great.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I'm sure glad to see it. It didn't come around soon enough for the Savage home.
No.
And the other one that really deserved me, the other Lauder home in Grand Haven.
Well, the one that was on the corner, you mean?
Taken down in a filling station.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
The woodwork and things like that in those places were
never duplicated.
Now, up here on the main street, the old Harbeck House. It's in.
Here? In Springwater?
Yeah.
And where was that?
Well.
When you say main street, you mean, well, Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it on up beyond the, up in, near the Catholic Church?
No, not quite. It's in the block before that.
Okay. Trucks from Christ in India.
Not quite.
Uh-huh.
But there's a house on the corner there, right across from the Catholic Church. It's Bill Spencer's house. And then there is another big house, big apartments. And then there was another house, and that was I forget the name now. But then the next one is the one I'm talking about.
That's perfect.
And that has a marvelous staircase. It has been made into apartments, but the staircase has been preserved.
Mm. What Herbeck was that again? Not Herbeck.
No, I don't know which one. Mm. I think there some relation to Betty Moore. I think there's some contact there. I don't know whether a relation or not, or whether somebody worked for somebody or what.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a connection there.
Sure. Press was village president for 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
It's in there, we're at the back. Yeah, right, of all
the presidents of the village. He was on the council three different times.
See, I'll come over.
Yeah.
So, oh, sure. The May Graham.
Yeah.
Oh, is that May Graham?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right.
At Women's Club, Barb Rowe was talking.
Oh, yeah.
And she showed this picture and said, does anybody recognize anybody on that? I said, yes, my husband.
Oh, is he in there?
There.
Oh, be darned. Is that right?
And he was what? Probably, it looks like he was 5-6 years old.
Yeah, something like that. Sally Buckley.
Sally Buckley.
Yeah.
Let's see. Buckley.
Yep.
That would be Marge Oakes was a Buckley. Marge Buckley.
Yes, and that'd be his sister.
Okay.
Sally Buckley Bond.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Another woman that knows a lot about history of Spring Lake is Esther Birchie. Esther Ahern.
Okay.
She is now, and she lives up on Prospect Street, uh-huh. And her father was Fred Birchie, the head of Brick.
Oh my gosh, yes, the Brick. Now where, okay, that was located on one of the bayous here.
I think so.
Yeah, there's a picture of it in there.
There's something in that, and the headlight flashes too.
Oh, you've got headlight flashes.
You know. What? This house used to be the place where people would come for information.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, I
college kids would have to write about their own town, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was so worried because the comic weekly that I had was all in shreds.
Yeah.
And I had stitched this together on a sewing machine, or I had
one copy
of it.
Uh-huh.
And, I said, what am I going to do? These things are just pieces. And I went upstairs and in the home barn. I found 70 copies of this in mint condition.
That very same one.
Mm-hmm. This is what they got in Holiday Inn home, you know.
Did you know that?
And you're going down
okay,
the dining
sure,
room?
Sure. Yeah. That's one of those. You gave it to them, didn't you?
No, I didn't give it to them. I don't know where they got it.
But how do we do it? Oh, there it is. That's the picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And
that was quite a place.
And Esther said that some of the buildings in Grand Haven
are still up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was quite an operation. In fact, I think the original county building was made of those bricks. Yeah.
Don't you have one of these?
No, I don't. Okay, you've got 70 copies.
Well, this is what I said. I don't know how many of these there were. But I have given the libraries copies and different groups that interested in.
Yeah.
Anybody who was interested in the count and the history of
I've been
to schools.
Oh, yeah.
So, here's the big.
That's
see, Fred Birchie and Lois Bills had this area, the Spring Lake Beach. They had all those lots up there. Well, why they didn't save one for us, I'll never know.
And they were all sold off. Now, where would that have been located?
Well, you know where the swimming beach is.
Sure.
You'd go down
Strawberry Point.
Strawberry Point.
Sure.
All that right in there.
And they owned all of that. And sold it all off. Of course, you know, probably at that time, living back here.
Mm-hmm. It was even a long way away.
Well, but I'm thinking it was probably, this was more of the proper place to live here.
Yeah.
Down there, that was kind of slummy.
Oh.
I just wondered, you know, it's reversed now, of course, beach property, and they tear down those old places and put up beautiful places. Well, tomorrow when we take our walk up and down here, it'll be on television. We're going to put it on tape. And, of course, George is a great one for that sort of thing.
Yes, and he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Always lived here. And Bolt House, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, John had the filling station right over here.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Pitchco.
And he tore down the
saloon. He and Steve Bottomo were in it, too.
Okay. Now that, the saloon was there first, then they went in.
It was a filling station when I came.
You know, one thing that I always wanted to ask, I know that in looking at this house, there had to be, you had to do the wash. And I know in our house, when I was young, my mother did the wash once a week.
Every Monday.
I think it was. That's right. It was. Now, is that the way it was here?
Well, no, because Grandma didn't do her own washing. Oh. So you had somebody else do it.
Okay. Now, how about you? Did you?
Oh, I still do. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But you've got a machine now.
Oh, yeah. A washer and dryer.
Sure.
But and then, of course, with some, well, Babbitts is there now. It's not happening. It used to be.
No. But I can recall with the Maytag, we had an electric Maytag, you know, the switch back and forth, the agitator, and if it was cold out, we would hang the clothes in the basement. Mm-hmm. Now, is that the way you did it, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was doing it when the doors were small. And then, when I got the electric machine, I remodeled the pantry to make room for them and that. Uh-huh. So that's where I do it now.
Okay, now those are the machines you have today.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what did you, have a Maytag?
No.
What did you have in the basement, I mean?
Well, I don't know. I had a wrinkle washer down there.
Yeah.
And it just said it had an agitator, but I don't know what kind it was. And
was it electric driven?
Yes, but before I had that, I had a curious thing that Grandma had, and it was like a big cooking pot almost. It was about that high and round, and then I put the clothes and the water in that, and I'd have to get the water from the sink. That I had to do in the kitchen. And then the top part of it, the motor part, I'd have to turn upside down and put on it, and that's where the agitator was.
Okay.
But I had to do all the ringing by hand.
Was that electric?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And run off by hand. You had a drain down there, of course, so you could probably just run on the floor.
Yes, when I was washing it, I had an electric machine with the ringer on it. That was downstairs. That was the next step. And then when I graduated from that, modern one was upstairs.
Sure. Now, what did you use for soap? Dulls and Aflet?
Thin pants. Or soap flakes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten about the soap flakes, but I can remember my mother cutting up the Dulls and Aflet. And boiling.
Oh, I never boiled clothes, but I know a lot of people did.
Well, didn't boil the clothes. We got the soap.
Oh.
Oh. Ready to pour into the water.
Oh, I see.
You didn't do it that way. Soap flakes. Well, it was all done for you then.
Yeah.
Maybe the Fell's Naphtha was for heavy duty.
Oh, yeah. That's when you had to rub the dirty spots with something like that.
Yeah, right. We didn't go through clothes like kids do today. You wore things for a while.
I was fortunate because my mother was a dressmaker and designer.
So?
I was in high school before I knew that they sold patterns.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Because I would open up a catalog and say I want the back like that and the front like that and the sleeves like this. And she'd get out the newspaper, she'd cut the pattern to make the dress.
And did she have a foot trail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that one there, of course, you know that.
Where is that?
There's an old singer there, 1874.
Right here?
Yeah.
This one out here.
Okay. You've seen that, haven't you?
I have, yes, but I guess maybe I didn't get the entire tour. Be on my way. I'm going to meet with, I told you, Steve Slutka,
yes.
Your old pal, Steve.
Oh, yes. He was in my brother's graduating class.
Okay.
And in high school.
Uh-huh.
And he had been, he'd gone to the University of Illinois, and he wanted to get a teaching certificate. So he came down to the Western to get his teaching certificate, and he and I did our text teaching.
Oh, you did? Up there. And where?
At Western.
Oh, okay. But I mean...
in Council.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you say that your dad had a store in Grand Haven. There were a food store?
Yeah.
Okay, now, I'm trying to think of the name of the food store that was out there at the end of the Ness. Out near the Knights of Columbus.
Oh, well, this was 2 blocks. Further in the 1300 block. Well, no, Knights of Columbus is in the yeah, the next block. Yeah, 1 block. Well, you're thinking of Strasburg.
That's it, Strasburg.
Yeah, that was strictly meats.
Okay.
My dad sold no meats,
uh-huh.
And he sold no groceries.
Uh-huh.
And they were right next to each other.
And, oh, is that right?
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah, and they're still buildings are still uh-huh. there. And then in the house that is just east of that is where I was born.
Yeah. Still there?
Yeah.
1314.
And the start address was 1320.
Yeah. What was your maiden name?
Smith.
Okay. And what was the store's name?
Smith's Grocery.
Smith's Grocery. And it was there from until the 20s or 30s?
Yeah, it started in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And mother and dad were married in 1907, and he worked in Douglas, Michigan, in a grocery store for a year, and then they came up here.
Now, out behind there was a vacant lot, out behind where you lived, and wasn't there a ball field out there, or
It wasn't a vacant lot where I lived.
Was that right?
But at the end of the block, there was a vacant lot.
Okay.
And he used to go down there and play. But there were still houses off back of the store. Oh, the store, that whole block was solid.
Right.
And down at the corner there were a couple of different houses.
It's a pretty good hike in the town.
Yeah, then I lived there till I was about 6 years old, and then I moved a block west. 1200 block, and the old boat, the 10 boat was put up.
Oh, okay, now that's right, right along there. Well, Gene Ropey lived, Don Costin, Jack Van Hoff, they were all out there in the Crescent Theater area.
Yeah, Tony Atkin, block and a half.
The other way. I'm thinking of two stores downtown, the gift store, right near the Past Pastetters.
Oh, you mean Fuller.
Not Fuller.
That was your maiden name, Flotos.
Floto, yes, okay. Well, that was the boat home then. Yeah, I was, right. What
no,
you said.
No,
no.
Yeah, it's a different boat.
Oh, it is a different,
uh-huh.
Okay.
Didn't you ever know Pickle?
Oh, sure.
Well, sure. All right.
He was born right down there.
Well, that's where he lived. Uh-huh. When we were brought up. In fact, somebody wrote their name in the cement down in the basement. But this is Donna Musin's family.
Okay.
Her father was... is that on?
Sure.
You turn it off and I'll tell you
something. Okay. Okay.